Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, that's cool. Everybody to a special edition on the Essence of Success Radio Network. Tonight we are so glad to have Mrs. Harriet Walden. She has written books. She's a teacher, retired optician, scholar, spiritualist. I mean, she's bringing so much. We're almost a potpourri of, oh my goodness, what to even ask her. So we'll see what she's going to start off with. And then also, she's got an event this Saturday, the 18th, that she'll be speaking about. And hopefully, I mean, we're going to talk real nice to Ms. Walden. Hopefully we'll get a show out of her every week and do something good here on the network, because she has so much to bring. Great wisdom. So without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, I bring you Mrs. Harriet Walden.
Hello, how are you?
Hello, Ms. Walden. How you doing, Ms. Harriet?
I'm good. And, I'm Reverend Walden, and it's so good to be on your show. Seattle had a nice sunny day today, and I'm really excited about being on your show. I really thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, we thank you for being on the Essence of Success Network. This is great for us. You have so much. You know, I'm probably going to interview you to the death.
I'm getting myself all ready here. Well, one of the things that I'm all excited about, I think we talked a little bit about it earlier today when we spoke, was about sacred activism and the power of organizing from an open heart and just being in the world in a way that you can work with people and not be jaded. I think about our ancestors and the people who came before us, and, you know, we think our life is hard now. It is just minuscule hard compared to what our ancestors went through. We have cell phones and microwaves and Gucci shoes and convertible cars, health insurance, running water, Band-Aids. I mean, all these things that make our life.
We take for granted.
Our life, yep. We take for granted that, that they did not have. And I'm just so in awe to the people who came before us and the path that they laid out for us to follow. They left a good path for us. They really did. They did not take up all the crumbs. The way home is actually already laid out for us. So I'm always excited to talk about how I see myself in the world in relationship to the work they did for us, because they loved us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, tell us a little bit about the work that you're doing now. That's it, because I know you're an activist, too.
Well, I'm the founder of Mothers for Police Accountability. It's been around now, beginning our 25th year. Needless to say, my children are grown now, and I'm a grandmother, but I started it back in 1990 as a result of an incident that happened with my children at that time, and we was called Mothers Against Police Harassment. So over time,
okay,
we changed our name to reflect the work that we do, and it really is about accountability. And the one thing that we're different from most groups that organize that want to put pressure on the system is that we believe accountability is for everyone, not only for the police department, but for our community. You know, we have people in our community that's harming us and doing things that keep our community in chaos, and we want accountability for them too. So our accountability
okay.
is not only for the police, but for everyone.
Okay.
Yeah, so... Again, I'd like to say we've been around for a long, long time, and we do work around the country. I've been part of a lot of police tribunals. And as a result of this, in April, I started the Mother's Justice Show to make sure that the grassroots voice around the country can still be heard, because a lot of professionals are now taking over police accountability. And, you know, because now wherever we're the trailblazer, wherever we blaze a trail, and we usually do that without being compensated, and at the end of the trail there's a mansion, and other people usually come in, fill the mansion up, and they get paid to do the work.
Oh, boy.
So anyway, that's really how I see that. So my commitment is to interview people around the country and keep their grassroots organizing voice alive, not only in Seattle, but around in other cities. So that's
well, Ms. Harriet, yeah. Let me ask you, how do you feel about the police now that they are doing a pilot program, I understand, in Seattle for the cameras, that the police officers will be wearing cameras?
Well, you know, we're for the cameras because in a lot of the cities, the use of force have gone down. All the complaints about a lot of in Rialto, California, the use of force complaints went down significantly. And also the complaints that cannot be substantial. Sometimes people file a complaint and they know that they're not telling the truth. So a lot of times some of those kinds of complaints have gone down too. I think anything that's going to bring accountability and more transparency, but it's not the be-all. I mean, we can't just, I mean, you know, we think all technology, but the very time that it fails or it didn't record something, then the people are going to be up in arms and say, well, you know, why didn't it work? So I think we still have to always be aware and to make sure that all the safeguards are there, make sure that they have the cameras on at the appropriate time, and to make sure that that the film is being held a significant time for
yes.
a complaint to make its way through the system.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's got, like you said, accountability. It's got to be fair and justable for both sides.
That's right.
For
that's
both
right.
parties.
That's right. And I think the police have a right to have some privacy. You know, in their work day, I mean, if they're, you know, going to the, you know, taking care of the facility, taking care of their personal needs. And, I mean, I don't think those things ought to be recorded. But I think all the engagement, whenever they're talking to the public and engaging the public, I think all that needs to be recorded.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So we're for it.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good. Well, I want to touch on... because we are going to speak about Ebola a little bit later, but I'd like to touch on the event that you have coming up this Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that's a fabulous. I'm glad you mentioned that. It's called the Better Day Conference. It's going to be Saturday at the Senior Center on 30th and 30th Avenue South. It's 530th Avenue South in Seattle. It's two blocks south of Jackson on 30th Avenue, if you're coming on the number 14th bus. And the whole idea about this conference is that seven generations ago, someone in my lineage, your lineage, looked up to the sky. They knew they were never going home again. They knew that they might not ever see that husband or that child that was stolen and sold away from them. And they knew that a better day was coming. they might not live to see it. And we are that answered prayer. I mean, they prayed seven generations ago, and we're here now. And the idea about this is to help especially our young people understand that we're not victims. We're absolutely victorious people. We are the people who we're victorious because our ancestors, they sacrificed a lot for us. And here we are right now. We have such an opportunity to actually make them proud and to realize that we're the answered prayer. We are that better day. And sometimes we focus on what's not right with us and what's going wrong, but we're absolutely the better day that they prayed for. And it's just waking up to that, and that's what the caucus is about. And we've made a call for papers, and so this year we didn't get that many papers in, but next year we're going to start earlier. And we have a few papers that we've gotten a couple years ago and last year where individuals have written like a love letter or a note to their ancestors in explaining how they are the answered prayer that their ancestors prayed for seven generations.
Oh, wow.
Because,
that is fabulous.
Because, see, we've been here longer than most Caucasians. The last slave ship came in the 1830s, and most of the people who are here today came after the 1880s or the early turn of the century to people of the West. And so even Scalia, who's on the Supreme Court, his ancestors came in the late 1880s or the early 1900s. So we've been here a long time. But we didn't just come. We are the people who built the infrastructure. The infrastructures, you know, all the roads, the highways, the buildings. I mean, we built America. And also we allowed the people to get so rich because they paid our ancestors no money. Their labor was free. And so if you or I could live in a place for 80 years or 90 years or 70 years and never have to pay any money, we would all be rich because they paid us nothing, so that meant that they could gather all the money for themselves. And so we have to really teach our children and some of us as adults to know the power that we've been here a long time. We've absolutely been here a long time. And we are that better day. We are the better day. I mean, Harriet Tubman didn't live to see it. Sojourner Truth didn't live to see it. Even Ida B. Wells didn't live to see it. I mean, you know, she started. You know, she was a great writer and freedom fighter for black men. She stood up against the lynching and all of that stuff. So, but we have to move beyond believing that we're victims. We're absolutely victorious when you understand the power, because we're here because all of our ancestors had children, and we're the children's 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 children of our ancestors. And it's some people who didn't have children, or their children died, so they have no blood lineage in this time.
Yes, no legacy at all.
That's right, and that's why we're so fortunate that we are that answered prayer, and then we teach our children that. And then they have, if we could teach our children that, they'd go to school and they would never, ever be oppressed. And the jails would not be filled up with our children because if they they didn't have to fill them up with other people or tear down the prisons because it wouldn't be our people in there. Would not. See, and that's my vision, to be able to help people to empower their children to know that they have such a high calling on them because they're standing as a living witness for their ancestor in this time zone. Uh-huh. And that's a powerful responsibility. That means that you're not going to jail. That means that you're going to do something with your life, okay? You know, so anyway, that's what the conference is about. And next year, I've talked to some of my friends that lives in Tampa, Florida. In fact, I interviewed a former classmate, someone I went to school with, on Monday, and she's agreed that next year this time they're going to hold a conference the same time in Tampa, Florida, on the answered prayer. You know that then we are the better day. See, and so I think I have some young people in Los Angeles, so we can understand the power of understanding who we are. It's power in that. You know, it's so much power in that. And we can send our kids already fortified when they leave the door, when they leave the house, they know already who they are. They're not dependent on a system who is designed to make sure they go to prison to know who they are. See, so
that's right.
That's
they are kings and queens, and to always believe
that
of themselves.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And then they behave in such a way. I mean, you know, my vision is sagging would disappear. I mean, when people know who they are, I mean, you know, it's like, come on, pull up your pants, brother. You know, do it for your ancestors. Do it for your great-great-grandma.
Yeah.
I called a Renaissance man. And I said, come on now. Come on, be a Renaissance man. Pull your pants up. You can do that. You absolutely can. Yeah. And I've never been cursed out. I've asked many young men to pull their pants up. And I think that they sag because we have not asked them continuously, because we know that young people who are sagging are not going to have an opportunity. You know, I'm not going to hire a young man who comes to my place for a job and he's sagging. I don't care how brilliant he is. I'm just not going to hire him. I mean, it's my business, and I have to have an image in my business. And I'm not going to have an image of someone serving somebody that's coming to my business sagging. I'm just not going to do that. And so if you want an opportunity, there are some things you need to do, and one of them is to pull your pants up and put a belt on.
Well, I don't believe they heard you.
but that's the refrain. We have to constantly say it, you know, and if need be, we need to go to Goodwill and get some belts and keep them on our car. When we see a young man, you don't have a belt. Come here, son. Come here, son. You know, come here. You know, I call them
I got
time.
One just your
it
size.
It'll be a tendency. Beg pardon?
Yes, and I said, and we have one just your size.
That's right.
The belt.
Because, you know, one thing I realized that if you call them son, they don't get offended. You know, come here, son, you know, let me talk to me. I mean, tell me what your plans are. And if you call them brilliant and you tell them how smart they are, tell them somehow young men have never been told that they're smart.
True. True.
You know,
instead, they've been put down and degraded instead of being lifted up. Yes.
That's right. That's right. That's right. And I have a good story to tell about black men, because for 5 years I walked with a cane and I never pumped my gas, and I gave my money to perfect strangers, and men always stopped to pump my gas. Black men always said yes to pump my gas. And then I couldn't tie my shoes up tight. And I would call perfect strangers, young boys. I said, ma'am, I said, would you tie my shoes up for me? They say, yes, ma'am. And then when they finish tying up my shoes, I always try to have a card or something to give them that says your blackness is not a crime or something. And then they finish tying my shoes up. I said, now, I want you to pull your pants up for me. Yes, ma'am. And I said, did you know that? I said, did you know you was a genius? I said, you're so absolutely smart. And I've had a couple young men have tears in their eyes and say, ma'am, nobody has ever told me that I'm smart. I said, yeah, you are absolutely smart. I mean, and just to give a kind word, just kind of lift somebody's spirit sometimes, especially
Amen.
Our guys, you know. Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that's
yes,
our responsibility.
Yeah,
it's our responsibility. Yeah. So anyway, all of that is about the conference. It's like, yes, we're that answered prayer. We're that answered prayer. My grandmother never voted, you know. I mean, so I vote for her. I do all these things for all those old people who was in my community that didn't live to see this. You know, they didn't live to see this better day. So I do my civic responsibility and respect for all those people that I knew growing up that gave their best, their absolute best every day to a system that disregarded them, discounted them, and totally disrespected them. So everything I do for them. Who came before me and set such a good example.
No. Yes, they sure did. Well, listen, how about, you know, I got to bring up the elephant in the room, Ebola.
Oh,
as we were speaking
about
that earlier, yes, because I was telling you about my article with the African woman, but I'll let you go ahead and begin speaking about it, unless you want me to go to the article.
Can you go to the article, and then I'll talk a little bit about how I see Ebola and what I call it. I mean, you know,
okay.
the call word for Ebola.
Well, Ebola is not real, and the only people who have gotten sick are those who got shots from the Red Cross. So I have a little bit of an article, or the whole article, I should say, and the journalist is Miss Nana Kwame. I'll just read a paragraph right quick. It says, people in the Western world need to know what's happening here in West Africa. They are lying. Ebola as a virus does not exist and is not spread. The Red Cross has brought a disease to four Pacific countries for four Pacific reasons, and it is only contracted by those who receive treatments and injections from the Red Cross. That is why Liberians and Nigerians have begun kicking the Red Cross out of their countries and reporting it in the news, the truth. Most people jump to depopulation, which is no doubt always on the mind of the West when it comes to Africa. But I assure you, Africa can never be depopulated by killing 160 people a day when thousands are born per day. So the real reasons are much more tangible. Reason one, the vaccine implemented sickness, being called Ebola, was introduced into West Africa for the end goal of getting troops on the ground in Nigeria, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. If you remember, America was just trying to get into Nigeria for Boko Haram, BS, but that fell apart when Nigerians started telling the truth. There are no girls missing. Global support fell through the floor, and a new reason was needed to get troops into Nigeria and steal the new oil reserves they have just discovered. Right. Okay, Miss Harriet.
Wow. You know what I mean? And you know, I'm so glad you read that article. Because any time that they're telling us something about Africa, it's always usually a lie. And it's always connected to resources. Always connected to resources. Because it's like they really think that they're going to get rid of all the black people. Well, you know, one thing that came to my mind is Ebola. And this is how I see it. I call Ebola everlasting blackness always over the land. Ashe. Amen. You know, I mean, that's what it is. Everlasting blackness over the land always. And that's what it is. I mean, we're not, as you just read, you're not going to get rid of the black people. I mean, they've been trying for 1,700 years. Absolutely trying. I mean, and there's a black project hole in the budget. Every year is still studying, there's billions of dollars goes in to study melanin. And the CDC is not our friend. These are the same people who let the people with syphilis, they let them die with no treatment because they wanted to see what happens to the end stages. And we all know from what they reported that the only person who died from Ebola in America was the black man, and he didn't get the same protocol treatment as everybody else. So I think this is really part of the fear. And what we have to realize is that fear is made, all it is fear. And we have to step back from the fear and understand that it's all about melanin. I mean, it really is. And we need to really embrace melanin. We need to just love melanin. I mean, because melanin is what drives this. What drives this? I mean, if Africa was inhabited by Europeans over there, there wouldn't be no diseases over there. It wouldn't be any of this stuff over there. But always, and this is why we have to really love melanin. We got to embrace it. We got to walk in the room like we own it. We just have to understand that all of this is just because of melanin. I mean,
Isn't that something?
It is. It absolutely is. And the one thing, too, that a lot of these countries need is infrastructure. They need better water systems.
Mm-hmm.
They need better disposable of waste, of body waste, and they need better hospitals. So when people are sick, the West is always trying to harm Africa. I mean, and I think they've been waiting to get a black leader in America to be able to do this. I mean, because all this attention to Africa, before Africa used to be blind neglect. you know, okay, what did Clinton do? Well, I mean, you know, what, 1 million people got killed in Rwanda, and the West did nothing. Okay, I mean, in 30 days or 6 weeks, all those people was dead. I mean, and now we're talking about a few people compared to 1 million people who might be dying every day. You know, I mean, it's just absolutely terrible what has happened. But again, Africa is so huge. I mean, and the Americans don't have a concept of how large the continent is. It's the second. When I grew up, they told us it was the largest continent, and now they say Asia is the largest continent. But Africa is huge. I mean, you know, I think the Americans don't understand how huge it is, and
yeah.
Now people are trying to confuse East Africa with West Africa, and the Americans sometimes are just ignorant to geography. And it's really, really huge. There's a map sometimes that goes around on Facebook and other places, and it shows all the countries that can fit in Africa, around all the countries around the world, and the continents can, a lot of them could just fit right there in Africa. See, it's huge, absolutely huge. See,
well,
let
me also cover now a couple other reasons. You're going good here. Sierra Leone, you know, of course, you know this, Ms. Harriet, is the world's largest supplier of diamonds. Well, did you know also for the past 4 months that they've been on strike? They've been refusing to provide diamonds due to their horrible work conditions. Because, you know, they gave them people slave pay. Come on. The West will not pay a fair wage for the resources because the idea is to keep these people surviving on rice bags and foreign aid so that they remain a source of cheap slave labor forever.
Right. Wow.
Yep. Yeah, but that's been going on for 4 months, so it's going to be interesting to see what they're going to do.
That's nowhere in the news. CNN didn't cover that, see?
No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
No, they
sure
didn't cover
didn't.
That. They didn't cover that. And do you remember also when Pat Robertson had all this horrible stuff to say about something that was going on in Africa, and you know, he made his money on blood diamonds. He made money on blood diamonds that's coming out of the Congo, coming out of those places where they was fighting, and they call it blood diamonds. So a lot of the people who are talking about Africa is making money off the Africans. And after these countries, because a lot of these countries after they got the independence, well, all of the rightist leaders who really knew what time it was, the CIA killed them. You know, I mean, the president of Kenya, Ghana, and then of Tanzania and all of these other, but they put in people like Mobutu and all the other people who were the enemy of the people. And they stole from the people, and they didn't build any roads and stuff. They just stole, and they didn't do anything. And there's so much good going on in Africa that that the media don't tell us about. I mean, there's so much good going on, and I think what they want to do is that they want to permanently want us to believe that nothing good comes out of Africa. And so
you saw how they tried to deface Oprah Winfrey after she had began that school over there. Oh, now there's lesbian problems. Now the girls are being like, what? Oh, yeah, you got to find something. You got to find something.
Right, you got to find something. But what we have to, one thing about it is that we have to continue to rise above it. Because, you know, they might think that they own the media, but we own the spirituality. We own the intuition. We own all the other stuff that they cannot get. And we have to always understand that we have to keep our spiritual eye open. Always have to keep our spiritual eye open. Because whatever they're telling us, we need to be looking in the opposite direction. Because they're not telling us the truth. They're not telling us the truth. And the other thing that's happening in the world, the money system, I mean, China, Russia, Brazil, India, and South Africa came up with this currency, and Russia is no longer going to be taking payment for oil, for the gas, natural gas and stuff in dollars anymore. So all of this other stuff is confusion to keep people from understanding this. So what's getting ready to happen in the world?
If Russia doesn't take our money for oil, but you know, I said a long time ago when Russia became no debtor to any nation, quite a few years ago. Maybe it's been 12 or 13 years ago. But anyway, they paid all their debts. They were debt-free. They didn't owe any country like we do, China, Japan, Canada, and whoever. And so I said, now they're dangerous. Now they're dangerous. So even today, I don't know what they're talking about, sanctions against them. Like, really? I don't even believe that. Because Russia's going to do what they want to do.
Well, yeah, and also, like you say, being debt-free. The other debt-free nation in the Western Hemisphere is Cuba, because Cuba can get in a loan. So Cuba doesn't owe anybody any money. And so the IMF, you know, they go in and they bring the money in, but the strings that attach to the IMF money really does not uplift the people out of poverty. What it does is renders you a slave to paying money back with interest to the system, and your people are still poor.
That's all it is.
And a lot of the countries are waking up to that. And this system that the Russians and China and all these people are coming together, it's not going to have the reserve. It's not going to have the reserve system like we have here. The Federal Reserve. They're not going to have that kind of system at all. And because the Federal Reserve is the reason why our money always fluctuating, and they could call in, raise the interest, lower the interest, and all of that stuff. So it's going to be a totally different system.
Well, you know, Miss Harriet, they want to go to one world government and one type of money that'll be a world money, one item, whatever that may be, paper or coin. But I don't even think we're going to have that. I think paper money will eventually go away, just like coins eventually.
Well, and maybe people might barter. A lot of people are bartering now. I mean, there's always going to be a way of getting people to have an exchange. Well, one time it was curry shells. One time it used to be salt. Because gold and silver are going to still be around. But most people won't be, can't afford to have that. But I think for us as African people, descendants of African people, I think we have to always keep our eyes someplace else and know that all of these systems come and go. But what's going to keep us on the right road is our spirituality and our intuition. We have to really, really, really get more in tune with our spiritual, with our intuition. That means we might have to fast a couple of days. You might have to say, every Monday and Tuesday I fast. If you can't fast all day, you might get up and you might fast from 6 to 2. So that your intuition can become more clear. And so you can learn to trust that voice of God when that voice says, don't go down that street, turn and go the other way. And then you miss, they were shooting over there. And as you, by your intuition, you weren't involved. And it was our intuition that got our ancestors through. See, they listened and they prayed and they followed the voice that kept them safe. See? And that's all I'm saying, is that all of these other systems, they can talk about all this other stuff, but for us, if we can open up our intuition and listen to that power of the kingdom of God that's in each one of us, it is not outside of us. It's not at the church. It is in me. It's in you. It is in all of us waiting for us to realize it. It's just waiting. And once we realize it, that intuition just like, oh, wow. It's just like, wow, it's just, you know who's calling before the phone rang.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, but that's what's going to get us through. That's what's going to, and then the divine feminine. We come from millennium of matriarchal societies, and now the patriarchal society has messed up the world. The divine feminine voice is being raised. The divine feminine has a right to have her own space, just like the male deity. And so the divine mother is asking us to wake up. The earth and all of that is crying for us to wake up. So
yeah.
I'm so, you know, I'm always optimistic. I always see the glass half full. In fact, I see it full. That's what I see. I see that the power of the living presence has made every glass full, and we just have to open our eyes, our spiritual eye, to see it. See.
There you go. Well, one last little word on Ebola. If Ebola was really spread from person to person instead of controlled spread through vaccination, then why would the CDC and the U.S. government continue to allow flights in and out of these countries with absolutely no regulation or at all? We have got to start thinking, everybody, and sharing information globally, because they do not give the true perspective of the people who live in West Africa. They're lying for their own benefit, and there aren't enough voices out there with a platform to help share our reality, like Miss Harriet has been doing with us for the last half hour.
Right.
Hundreds of thousands have been killed, paralyzed, and disabled by these and other new vaccines all over the world. We are finally becoming aware of it, which Miss Harriet just mentioned. Now what we will do, what will we do with this information? So the listening audience, you hear with Miss Harriet has been telling you for the last half hour, and hopefully that you've listened, it made you empowered, you took grain of thought. Hopefully you'll act upon what she spoke about, because like she said, it takes all our voices, and we need to remember who we are. I just want to say one more time, don't forget, we are the Better Day Saturday at what time, Miss Harriet?
It's from 10 to 2 at the Senior Center on 530th Avenue South in Seattle, right on the number 14 bus line.
Okay, and it's just south of Jackson, she said.
That's correct.
Yes. Okay. Miss Harriet Walden, I've enjoyed you so much. I hate to even close the show out, and I shouldn't say hate. I don't want to close the show out.
Well, you know, hopefully we'll have another time, and I could talk about my book that's coming out. It'll be out next time we talk. So, you know, I showed it to you, so it's been printed.
Well, even if it's not
so
out, you can read a few excerpts from it. That's okay.
Well, yeah, my book is called Repetition Journaling, and it's a book about transformation, how to transform your consciousness, how to move beyond trauma and all of the things that hold us back. It's called Creating a New Groove in Your Subconscious Mind, and it's about writing every night and journaling on affirmations. And one of the affirmations that's so powerful is that I am free. You know, I am prosperity. I am enough. This is the essence of who I am. I am enough. And my service is needed in the world today. It's one of those affirmations.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
so I'm just
ma'am.
Really excited. And the other one is I am blessed. Because the more we believe we're blessed, the more blessings come. See, we have to realize it. Absolutely. If we're breathing right now and we're not on a respirator, life is absolutely good. Absolutely good.
Yes.
That's how we're right here. And we're saying, oh, yeah, thank you. I'm breathing. So life is good. No matter what people are coming and no matter what they're telling us about all of this other pestilence and all this other stuff that's happening, my life right now is absolute good, and I'm going to bless it. And I'm going to bless everybody else, because I know the more people I bless, the more blessing comes back to me.
Yes, ma'am. I believe the same thing, too.
Yeah,
too.
Thank you. Yes.
Well, thank you so much. Well,
so much.
We're going to talk. Definitely, we'll be back on the phone talking again, because I'd like to, if possible, maybe every Thursday, kind of get you in for another interview or talk about different subjects or even some of your events, too, Miss Harriet, that you have coming up, you know, to share with us.
All right. That sounds wonderful. Thank you so much. I want to thank you for the opportunity to be part of your show, and for all your for the listening audience out there. I just want to say thank you.
Thank you, Miss Harriet, and God bless you for taking time out to even be on the show. I really appreciate that. So, anyway, and we'll close it out. You've been listening to Mrs. Harriet Walden and Linus on the Essence of Success Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow, Friday, at 5 o'clock for Friday Traffic Jams with Linus. Thank you, everyone, and enjoy your evening and be safe out there. And continue to open your mind to what can be. All right.
Oh,
I can get
so
it
much.
You're welcome, Miss Harriet.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I love you. I'll be talking to you.
Oh. All right. Have a good weekend. Love you.
Thank you so much. Love you too. Bye.
All right.